Hello, everyone, and welcome to the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode, I'm going to be joined by my buddy Empire Maker, big-time poker player, DFS player. You guys know who he is if you follow him on Twitter at Empire Maker 2. We're going to be talking about the Open Championship being played at Carnoustie in Scotland. We'll be previewing it from a betting perspective, from a DraftKings perspective, and just overall enjoyment perspective. Please give the show a rating and review on iTunes, and I hope you guys enjoy the show this week. All right, I would like to welcome my great friend, my good buddy, Empire Maker, to the show. We're going to talk the Open Championship happening at Carnoustie in Scotland this weekend. My boy, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a long time since we've had a tout show together.
This actually is not the first time we've done this. If you go back at the old Fantasy Insiders podcast archives, I somehow bribed Blake into doing this for, I think, like the PGA Championship. We did this like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I enjoy it, but it's pretty good for golf because I think the edges are a little smaller. Like, I don't think I would be touting NFL or NBA because there's too much money on the line and the edges are too big, but I don't have any problem giving out some golf picks. I don't think I'm that great, but I think I'm getting better, and I kind of understand the betting stuff more. I think I could get better at fantasy, but I don't know. I think we gave out some good picks the last few times I was on.
We did. We gave out a bunch of it.
Just like riding Spieth for a year, and he was just like winning everything. But I think those days might be over.
We gave out a bunch of head-to-head winners when we did it last time. We smashed the books with the head-to-head winners.
Yeah, maybe we'll give out some head-to-head winners. The only problem with golf head-to-heads now is like the lines have gotten way wider. So about 2 years ago, I was betting a lot of them and doing really well, and the books have kind of just said like, fuck you, we'll let you bet, but they doubled the juice on the line, so they've kind of become unbettable in a way, but maybe we can find a few.
So they're like FanDuel baseball lines, like 25-cent lines?
They're actually 30-cent lines, which are worse.
That's amazing.
They will literally let you bet hundreds of thousands, but they're just like, we don't think you can beat these lines. And they're pretty much right. You'll maybe find like one a week or something, but nothing like they used to be. So I've kind of given that up because these other sites like Pinnacle and whatever will only give you a few hundred.
Pinnacle's too sharp. No one can beat Pinnacle.
They definitely can, but it's just like, it's not worth my time to bet a few hundred on golf matchups and like take all this time to, you know, maybe get $1,000 down on the week.
Right. Like you're not researching something that costs less than the average bottle of wine for you. It's just not worth it.
I mean, your hourly is going to be like $10. So it's kind of a waste of time now. I wish Bookmaker would do what they used to, but I can see why they don't want to.
Did you go out to Vegas to play any World Series of Poker this summer at all, or did you not even go?
I went out for like 5 days, and we played cash games, and they were some of the most ridiculous cash games ever because it was mandatory drinking and mandatory flipping, so we kind of got all the nits out of the game, but my friend ended up crushing the guy I was staying with. He won like seven figures playing this game, and everyone else just kind of lost to him.
Just kind of donked off to him?
He's a good follow too. It's Jake Wrights on Twitter. He kind of just went on the heater of a lifetime because winning seven figures in a 100, 200 games, a lot of buy-ins in a few days.
That's sick life.
I can imagine not many other people won, but I did pretty good till the last night. I lost this massive pot with Jack 10 on a Jack 10-10 board to Jacks. I played it terribly, but I was gonna go broke either way. So I think I like broke even playing poker, and I won like a few hundred thousand flipping.
I mean, if you can come up on the flips, the rest of the weekend is just a free roll at that point.
Like 10K nine handed flip. So if you that's an 80K win if you win.
That's it. Where do you get?
The hands are kind of, they don't really matter when you're putting in like four buy-ins and a flip.
No, it doesn't matter. When are you going to put me in the main? Are you going to do it next year?
I actually like wanted to put some people in the main and maybe just like re-roll them next year. Where you get like maybe 10% of yourself or something.
I would do that because my equity is less than that.
Of course.
I'm the biggest fish, dude. I'm like the most aggressive. There's no EV to my game.
I can't even imagine what your poker game is like, but
no, you can. It's the same way I do everything else.
I don't want to put you in it just to like hear the hand histories and how bad they're going to be.
Maybe yeah.
I'll put maybe a few DFS guys in it.
I have to be better than the Barstool guy who played.
Yeah. I mean, any guy who's like taking a video of his bust out hand, I would not put in, and he can't be good at poker because it really means you haven't like ever played in a tournament. If you're like, you know, taking a video of your bust out hand, I've never seen that before.
I guarantee I've played more poker tournaments than that dude.
Probably.
I probably played like 8 live poker tournaments. That would be my number if I had to guess.
I think I've played like 4. I had a good run last year. I got like 12th place in this 10K. But man, it's really just a grind playing these tournaments. You're sitting in a chair for like 12 hours a day. You really don't get any breaks. It's just pretty brutal. So I kind of, unless they have like a big Omaha tournament, I don't see myself playing anymore. But I have a pretty nice sweat on my friend today, Dan Smith. He's in the $1 million tournament. I took a piece of him. I think he's second or third in chips, and first is 10 million. So if he wins that, I'm going to be buying some nice wine tonight.
I still don't buy that a $10,000 bottle of wine can be worth that much more over the $1,000 bottle of wine. Although you told me I'm wrong.
Well, it's kind of like the markup in restaurants is like 2.5 to 3 times. So it's not really a $10,000 bottle of wine.
That's just what it costs at the restaurant.
Yeah, more like a $3,000 bottle of wine, but we were doing some taste tests last week. There's not a big difference between like a $1,000 and $3,000 bottle of wine, but there's a big difference between like a $100, $200 bottle of wine and a $1,000 bottle of wine. And
that I definitely buy. I buy that the gap there is way bigger than the gap from 1 to 3K.
Like I can't even drink like $100 bottles of wine anymore because it tastes like piss to me. My min is, yeah, I don't know. It's gotten bad. I probably need to tone it down, but once you have nice wine, you'll understand.
Any peasant listening to this show is probably turning it off right now.
Yeah, we should probably talk about some golf.
Yeah, let's do it. So let's go through outrights first. Then we can do a little bit of DraftKings. Then we can do some like head-to-heads and other bets. As far as outrights, have you made any bets yet? Is there anyone you like?
So I think my main problem with like the golf community and outrights is like the juice is so big in outrights. I think it comes out to around 25%. So I really don't see much value in outrights. The one guy I really like though for an outright is Griot. I think he's like 170. Yeah,
he's like the chalk.
He's the chalk outright pick.
Well, just he's so chalk to the point that he's moved to 100 to 1 from what he opened at.
Okay.
That might not be on your book. That's just what I'm looking at right now.
Pretty much when I'm looking to bet outrights, I think there's like 150 guys in this field. And I think Griot is like way better than the field average to win. And I saw him at 170 to 1. He's still 107. He's 174-1 on Pinnacle, so I think he's a really good bet.
So
I would say Cantlay is a good bet at 105-1. I think his TD Green is – he is one of the best TD Green games, and I don't know. I think he's really underrated. The top end, if I was to pick one of the guys on the top end, I'd probably fire DJ.
It's DJ, and then guys at 100-1 or better for me. Those are the only bets I'm making. I'm not betting speed.
I can't imagine taking, like, Alex Noren at, like, 30-1, like, I don't think he's five times better than the field average.
That's the chalk. Everyone on Twitter is like, "Oh, I got Alex Noren at 30-1."
If they want to come to me, I'll give him like 35-1.
He's just never win. He's never winning this tournament, and I know he's been good, and I know he plays way better in Europe, but he's just not winning this tournament.
Yeah, I just hate saying that because if you like make a like a like I was like, there's no way Danny Willett's winning the Masters like a few years ago.
Oh yeah,
and yeah, I got some heat for that. But
he's another guy, by the way, who I like the price on because he's finally healthy and playing well. He's had like really good results for all of the last month. Willett has.
Yeah, I mean I would just take a. If I'm going to bet outright, so I would take a bunch of these guys at around 100-1. Like Finau, there's probably some value. Cantlay.
So in my model on Fantasy National, which is basically just like it's no putting. It's just like all greens, fairways, and strokes gained. Griot ranks as the 15th best golfer in this field over the last 24 rounds, which seems good given his price is as low as it is.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll do those three. Yeah, it seems ridiculous. I think he has a really good tee time too. He starts really early.
Well, yeah, we should talk about that too. What is your general take on the weather, on the dryness of the course, the conditions overall?
I don't really know a lot about the dryness, but just looking at the wind, I think the guys that tee off early might have an advantage, and that's like the Griot, Cantlay. I think the top end guy I like from that draw is Rose too, because most of the other studs tee off later. I don't know if the weather is going to be a crazy factor, but I think it's going to be less windy in the morning on Thursday is what I'm seeing. And then Friday, it just kind of – it looks like you get a little bit of an edge on Friday teeing off earlier, but I think the edge is more teeing off Thursday a little earlier. It looks like the wind is a bigger difference then. But I can't really tell by the lines that much, but it seems like Rose being over a favorite over DJ, I think, kind of means he has a better weather draw.
That's what it would seem. You want to hear a crazy stat on Justin Rose? His best ever finish at an Open Championship was in 1998 when he was an amateur. He finished T4, and he's never beaten that finish, which is wild. You would have bet anything he would have won one, knowing that his top finish was that as an amateur.
Well, the thing I kind of like about this is we don't have to take course history into account as much. I don't think they've played here in like, when's the last time they played here?
Sergio in like, I think it was like 2007. And then I think before that was the Vandeveld meltdown year.
Okay.
I'm not 100% on that, but I know for sure those are two that happened.
I mean, DJ hasn't played well in opens either. It's, I don't know. I just think Justin Rose is like so much better than he has been this year. I think this is by far his best year. So I don't know if we can judge his past performance as much.
Are you trying to short Tiger? Are you trying to bet against him in these head to heads?
I don't know. I kind of like Tiger. I've never been on Tiger in DraftKings before, but I think I might play him in like one or two Thunderdome teams. I'm not sure.
Well, what people are saying is that it's all baked out and dry out on the course because there's been this heat wave in the UK all summer, and
that probably gives him an advantage with his driving accuracy.
Well, he doesn't even have to hit driver. He can hit the 2-iron and the 3-iron off the tee. And like, so the report the other day was he was hitting his 3-iron 315 yards with the roll. And actually these guys who are going to hit driver, like a couple guys have said, they're not even going to take a driver out on Thursday. It's not even going to be in their bag.
Well, that also might be hurting DJ because his, you know, his driving game is just so much better than anyone else's. So if he can't utilize that as much, I don't know. I think that's a disadvantage for him.
Are you going 100%, Rory? Are you just jamming it in?
My problem with Rory is I think he's way too inconsistent to be the price he is. Like, I don't know. It seems like he can't put four rounds together anymore.
If you that is true about Rory everywhere, but at the Open, his last four Opens, he T5'd all of them except and the one that he missed, he just didn't play at all. That was when he had like the injury or whatever.
Oh, okay.
When he like hurt his foot playing soccer or something.
I just can't even like click his name anymore. He's cost me so much.
There's psychological damage there from playing him.
Yeah, there really is. I think you just take him at like API and what's that other course he does well at? Wells Fargo, and you just like,
yeah, Quail.
Quail Hollow, yeah. He especially in, I don't know, his short game is like so bad that it's painful. It's painful to pay that much for him. Like at least DJ is like what, an above average putter.
DJ over his last 24 rounds around the green, he's like 67th. So he's not great, but he's also
he's slightly above average.
Right, yeah. But Rory is not that.
Check that.
Well, this is only over the last 24 rounds, so it's a little skewed, but he's actually 26th.
Wow. Interesting.
Rory's stats look a lot better than I thought. Over the last 24 rounds that he's played, he's 11th on tour in strokes gained off the tee, first in driving distance, 7th in birdie or better, and 8th in strokes gained tee to green. It's a lot better than I thought it would be, given how every time someone talks about Rory, they talk about how much he's struggling.
Yeah, I just know him too well. Like every time I take him, he misses like a 3-footer, and then he'll put it in like the trees on the next hole. It's just like
he's the biggest tilt box in golf.
Tilts so hard.
Yeah,
I could see take like I like him more than Spieth. I like him more than Thomas. But I definitely think I like DJ and Rose more than him.
No, see, I think Thomas is the one of all the guys on DraftKings who are $10,000 or more. It's DJ and Thomas, and I don't think I like the other guys nearly as much. I think JT is a goat.
So you want to do like a bet where you take Thomas over Rose DraftKings points? Would you do that?
Yes. I'll make a note on my phone.
All right, we'll do that. I hate Thomas. Well, I don't know how I feel about him. The Lions hate Thomas this week.
He's a gamer though.
He's a gamer. He's really good at DraftKings scoring. I guess, you know, most of these top end guys are really good at DraftKings scoring, but
The thing is JT is not a good links player. That's not really his game. So this is totally just a talent bet over course fit. But I think JT is
I don't know how much this matters. I don't know if a study has been done on this, but I always think of him as having like the highest ball flight out of like any of these guys.
That could definitely be true. I don't know. I'll try and check it right now, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Like, I think you can search for like apex height.
Yeah, you can.
I just remember there being like a really windy round, and this guy on Twitter is like, JT can't play in the wind at all because he hits the ball so high.
Well, I mean, I have not seen any projections of like insane wind. Like the highest I've seen
Friday, like 20-mile-an-hour winds is when you kind of have to start worrying about the wind, I think, and that's what it's going to be. But whenever people say wind players, I think there's a lot of noise because these guys really don't play that many windy rounds. Like, so you're kind of, your sample's kind of small there.
Thomas this year in 65 measured rounds is like dead average in Apex Flight. He is 74th, right in between Tommy Fleetwood and Jimmy Walker.
Okay. So, fuck, I don't know what I'm talking about. But.
Well, I mean, but these stats, like, the thing about the PGA Tour stats, and even more so the European Tour stats, is, like, that they're measured weird. Not every drive, not every shot is measured. The only thing you can really trust is the strokes gained stuff. Everything else is super noisy.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm looking at. And how DraftKings kind of does their scoring, I mean, their pricing, is you can get a lot of these good strokes gained guys for cheaper because they're to win odds are like
bad.
Yeah, like guys like Casey always have bad to win odds. Guys like Molinari always have bad to win odds. Stenson, but they're like the stroke gain like best. They're all in the top 10 probably, but their odds don't really reflect that.
Do you like the Swedish mob boss? I think if he had not have withdrawn from the Scottish Open with this wrist thing, he would be the number one owned player on DraftKings.
I think he would be too. I think I'm still leaning to play him in cash from what I've seen in the lines. He's still like, he's like even money versus like Koepka. The one thing that makes me think Tiger is like a decent play is he has pretty good odds versus, especially like Stenson. Stenson's barely a favorite. So I think this is the first week I might be considering playing Tiger. But it's kind of hard in golf to get this injury news. You really don't know.
Stenson is in a three ball his first round with Jimmy Walker and Fleetwood, and he's a dog to Fleetwood, which I did not expect. He's a 25-cent dog to Fleetwood in this three ball.
Well, I don't look at three ball lines. I think those could be bad. But if you look on Pinnacle, I think Stenson is like even money versus Koepka. Let me pull it up.
Do you think that Brooks is going to be chalky on DraftKings just because people like him?
I think he will be. I think I'm going to be on a Brooks fade this week. I don't know why, but...
He actually came up on the European Tour. That was he before he got his PGA Tour card, he played over there. He even played the Challenge Tour over there.
Yeah, I understand that. It's just kind of like how I'm setting up my teams. Like I don't really have, if I want to go Rose and cash, I really don't have the money to take Brooks too, because I'm kind of set up taking Casey. And I don't know. How do you feel about Molinari? I think he's
like my favorite golfer in the world, and I've rode him for years. But at this point, like, how do you take Francesco Molinari for $8,600 when he's $400 more expensive than Henrik Stenson, who won this tournament 2 years ago? Like, I just don't know how you make that choice.
I kind of want both of them. So can I bet on can I do a Molinari versus Koepka bet versus you?
No, because I'm a Molinari guy, and I'm not on Brooks.
Okay.
I would want the same side of that as you.
Would you take Day over Molinari?
I would. Yeah, I am kind of on Day.
I'll do that bet.
Okay, so I have JT over Rose, and I have Day over Molinari.
Yeah.
So the thing with Jason Day is that his stats are like horrible. They don't line up anywhere. All he does right now is putt, and if he loses that, he's going to be horrible. But also, he just contends in all of these majors. It just kind of, regardless of what happens, he just hangs around in T13s.
Well, I kind of think there's a thing with some guys training harder for majors. I think with especially like a few guys like Day, I think, you know, he spends a lot of time with his family. He's probably not practicing as much, but he's really like trying to win majors. So, like, he's probably putting in, like, an extra week of work. I think you see the same thing with, like, Louis.
Oh, Louis doesn't care about anything other than WGCs and majors. Because Louis is about the money.
I just think they – you really can't – I don't know. You really can't judge this on, like, stats, I guess. But if you looked at their major records compared to like their normal tour events, I think they do way better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely buy that, and it is worth noting, Day was horrible at the U.S. Open, but I don't really care that much about that. That was just a wild tournament.
Well, I think it will also help Day that he doesn't have to hit. He's just egregious with his driver.
Because he's afraid of throwing his back out every time he hits it.
Like, I don't know who I'd take in a driver competition, him or Tiger. Just, like, trying to hit the fairway, like, trying to hit it, like, 300 down the fairway. I might actually
take
Tiger over Day.
I take Wesley Bryan over both of them, and he's, like, the worst on tour.
Yeah.
I would say I would not touch Day in cash. I think in cash, like, I think you have to play Norin and Stenson both in cash, kind of.
Yeah, I'm a little undecided about Norin. I definitely think he's playable in cash.
He's going to be the stone chalk. And, like, if you go click on, like, a $5 double up, he'll be, like, 45% probably.
Really?
I'm telling you, dude. So, I, like...
I'll give you under 40% in like the big 25 double up.
The 25 is sharper though. The 5 is like okay.
I'll do under 42% in the $5 double up. So $10.
I probably bit off more than I could chew with that. The thing is though, point of
40%. We'll do
40. Okay. All right, 40% Nor, that's probably free money for you. 40% is really high.
Yes, it is.
The thing is, though, is like literally every tout DFS thing is like putting Norin. Like he was all over the Pat Mayo show. He's like Roto Grinders, Notorious' stuff has him as like an outright. Even like the golf betting stuff I listen to, like the William Hill Golf Podcast, they had Norin as their like top bet at like 22-1.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of Norin, Grace, and Leishman from this range is like cash plays.
Yeah, here's the thing.
That's what a lot of people.
I'm on 100% lifetime Mark Leishman fade, and it has not killed me yet. I guess he won the British what 3 years ago.
I thought he got.
Or he lost in the playoff.
I thought he lost to ZJ, but I could be wrong.
He did. He lost in the playoff to ZJ, I think.
Yeah. So this range is interesting. Like you have Matsuyama and Reed too and Norin. So if you think everyone's gonna take Norin, I'd be inclined to get some ownership on Reed and Matsuyama.
Norin will definitely be disproportionately owned to Matsuyama, Reed, Leishman, Grace. Like 100%. He will be more owned than them to a point that does not match what his projection is.
I think Grace is going to get a lot of ownership. I also think Hatton's going to get a lot of ownership.
Well, people like to take the Brits.
They also, I don't know. It's kind of a thing where I think these guys just play so well on the European tour compared to the PGA Tour too. Like Hatton and Norin just crushed the Euro Tour for some reason.
Yeah, Norin's horrible over here.
They're more comfortable there. They're more comfortable with the courses.
It's probably all of that. It's more like, and they have different greens over there too. Like it's like a different kind of grass, right?
I have no idea. I've never been into the grass types.
That's real minutiae.
I don't know. People like swear by it though. Like you gotta play this guy in Poa. You gotta play this guy in Bermuda.
I think I've only ever actually like physically golfed on Bermuda and bent grass. I've probably never played a Poa course ever, so I don't even have anything to compare it to.
I don't know. My putting's so bad, I can't tell the difference. I'm like the amateur Rory of putting. Like
the amateur Rory, you're the opposite of Loves. Just can't putt at all.
All these guys I play with are like amazing putters, and I'm like probably averaging a 3-putt if I'm like 25 feet away.
You hit it like 300 off the tee though.
Yeah, I'm like 4 to 6 iron. I'm like a scratch golfer. Everything else, I'm terrible.
Yeah, so that's like literally what Rory is. Like if you gave Rory like Ian Poulter's short game, he'd be the best player in the history of golf.
Yes. Yeah. pretty much.
I think people will be on Poulter a little bit. People will definitely be on Oosthuizen. They always are in the majors. Just like he's a good play to me, though, for sure.
He's a good play. I think I'm just going to fade this range, especially Adam Scott. Just always cross him out.
You're fading Broomie?
No, I'm never taking him. Like, he's more tilting than Rory to me.
So the thing about him is anytime you run a model based on like anti-putting, like you don't include any putting on it, he's going to be top 10. But he is the woat putter. Like when you watch him putt, it's like hard. It's like hard to experience.
Yeah, he's like, no one misses more three footers. And it's really hard like turning on like the TV, watching it and being like, I can't even watch this guy putt from 3 feet.
Yeah. Like
you're like stoked. You're like, he's like 99% from here.
If I had to make one bet on this tournament for like my life, like my literal life was heading on it, it would be Matt Kuchar to top 20. Like I am so certain that would happen. I would place like large amounts of money on it. He not only is he obviously like good fit and a good golfer, but he just, if he's T44 when he goes off on Sunday morning, you can bet on a 68. Like, that dude just loves to backdoor the top 20s in these majors. He's out there for the paychecks.
He just loves money. And I can respect that. Who else do you like? This range is pretty interesting because you have a lot of guys that are kind of...
Bryson, dude.
I actually think Bryson could be a really underrated play. Like, I feel like if he didn't withdraw last week, he'd be... maybe like 500 more expensive.
Definitely. But he has like,
I think he's just like so smart. He's like, fuck this tournament. Fuck the John Deere. Like he was probably like plus two. And he just like I should just go over there and start, you know.
Yeah. Training. He was plus three.
Yeah. So I think his ownership's going to be really low too. So I totally agree with Bryson and GPPs.
Did you see his quote the other day?
About how like most guys are dumb on the tour.
Yeah, he was just like, I can't believe how dumb these guys are.
Well, he's like a fucking rocket scientist. So it's not really something you say because you have to go out and play with these guys then.
He doesn't care though. He does not care about making friends at all. He just wants to like perfect golf.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely not wrong. There's some pretty dumb guys on the tour, but
His results this year have been amazing. I'm playing Bryson. Bryson might be a cash play.
Yeah, I mean, he's borderline cash, I think.
I will take Bryson over anyone else you want in the 7K range. Do you like anyone significantly more than him?
I'll take Cantlay because I think that's like a classic. Yeah,
that is good.
I think it's a classic. They're two of the best young guys. They're both two geniuses too.
Cantlay will be more owned. He has like more steam from like the DFS golf people.
I don't know. I think he's going to be kind of low owned, but I could be wrong.
What is Cantlay to win this tournament? If he's like 100,
I told you it was 105. I said it was one of my bets. Him being.
There we go. I'm making my bet slip right now. I'm gonna do that one.
Yeah, I think he has some value there. Another guy you can just cross off. I don't know. I think Luke List is like,
Don't say it. You can't cross Luke. You can never cross Luke List off.
I think we're gonna look back like a year from now and he's gonna be like 10K and we're gonna be like, why weren't we playing him? He just feels like he's gotten unlucky to me.
Well, he can't. He can't putt. Like, he truly cannot putt.
Yeah, I guess so.
And like, more so than that, he's really susceptible to the big number.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not – I think you can throw him in a few GPPs. Like, I'd rather play him than, like, Peters, and I think Peters will be way higher.
Peters is like, he's like not a play to me, probably.
What about Fitz, your boy Fitz?
So I liked him for a long time, and then I watched him play like a bunch of tournaments, and I was just like, this dude is a bunter. He hits it like 220 yeah. off the tee. It's like absurd.
I swore against taking these midgets. Like, I swore them all off. I swore Molinari off, but he's just playing too good now. Like, he's like Zach. He's like the same size as Zach Blair and you. Like, he's like 5'5".
Zach Blair almost won a tournament like 3 years ago. It was a big moment. Yeah. He almost won the Sony Open.
Midgets.
All right, but so if you...
Molinari is carrying the flag for the midgets now. We don't need any of these other midgets, I don't think.
If you had to guess where Luke Liss ranks strokes gained putting on the PGA Tour, what would you guess?
Like, how many guys?
I think they probably... Get out of? I would guess about 200 guys are measured.
I would say he's like 190.
He's 167th. But he's like, you know, only about 20% of the tour is negative.
Also, like, probably 30, like, total scrubs on the tour that are just, like...
Yeah.
So he's probably better than them, but...
Yeah, right, like Ken Duke is, like, behind him or whatever, like, these guys who are not good players.
He's probably better than, like, Smiley.
Oh, Smiley? Remember when Smiley was good? There was, like, those 4 months where he was really good?
That was amazing, and I was just, like, looking back, I would just jam him in every week, and... He was like second in the Masters, wasn't he? Going to the final.
Yes. Round? Yeah.
Man, golf is a funny game.
What can just go so quick? Like, if you lose especially one aspect.
Especially if you get injured. Like, I think he might have hurt his wrist or something.
He's had a hurt wrist for like a year and a half.
Yeah. Oh, I want to tell you my big sleeper play from this range, but he might get some ownership, is Shane Lowry.
I thought you were going to drop Haotong Lee.
Oh, I love Haotong.
He's a good – he's 7,300.
But I don't know. I just – he is a good GPP play because he just, like, wins tournaments out of nowhere. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, like, all his – it's all T to green game. He's not sharp around the greens or putting at all.
Yeah. My favorite thing is when he threw his putter in the water and his mom, like, jumped into the lake. It's my favorite golf moment ever.
Do you like any of these random Euros down here? Keimer, Paul Dunn, Chris Wood, Thorbjørn Olsen, Westwood, any of these dudes? People will play Westwood. People always play Westwood at the majors.
He had, like, really good matchup odds, so I could see Westwood being a play. I just rather play Finau or Zach Johnson, though, if I'm going to go for a $7,200 guy.
How is Finau $7,200? Like, he's like lock cash game.
I think he shows up for the majors too. Like, his major results seem pretty crazy.
They're amazing. He is like always doing well at the majors. He never has a bad one. This year, T10 in the Masters, solo fifth at the U.S. Open.
My big thing about Finau is like this mental thing where I just think he's going to drive it like 70 yards right and just like take an 8 out. I don't know why I think.
Yeah. Well, that used to be what he. That used to be. I mean, like, he was really good. He like had some good results when he first came on tour. But so he like had his performances. Everyone was watching them. And then he had a run of like 6 months where he was pretty bad like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't. I heard you say Danny Willett's been doing better, but he's kind of. I mean, if he comes back to like 80% of his form that he was at 2 years ago.
Well, he was hurt. His thing is like he was bad after the Masters, but then he was hurt.
You would be like a 9K player if he was playing what he was. I probably won't play Willett, but I could see.
I could see betting him in some matchups depending on who he's like who is his matchup that you're looking at? Like who do you have him against?
He's a slight underdog to Ryan Fox.
Yeah, I will definitely take him against Ryan Fox.
I'll take Ryan Fox.
All right, so we got
I'll pay you plus 110.
Okay. So we got Ryan, I got Willett over Fox.
Fox is like a really good play. That's why.
This guy Jorge Campillo, he has like the most T5s on the European tour, so he's going to be like the Rafa Cabrera Bayo play from 2 years ago, where just like all these people hear his name on podcasts and play him, but he's not really that good.
I don't think I'll be on him.
Yeah, no. Probably no.
I'm not too schooled on the European tour, though. It's kind of hard to follow if you don't have any money on it, really. I used to play the DFS like 2 years ago when the contest used to be bigger, but they've gotten kind of small. So it's.
Yeah, it's like CFL now. Like the contests barely run. Benny Ann, haven't heard anyone mention him. 7,100. He's just like on a horrible run of form like the last month, but he's a goat. Benny Ann is a goat.
Yeah, I don't mind him. I could definitely see taking him.
Do you have any love?
You know what we need to bet on is your boy.
Uline.
Just give me $100 in action, and I'm just gonna bust you.
You are like you're gonna felt me. I'm not gonna have anything left.
I would take any of the three guys below him on DraftKings.
Just give me even money that he makes top 30. That would be the most.
But I also want a matchup bet with one of the three guys below him: Nah, Hoffman, or Woodland. You can pick.
Okay. Well, all right. So
because they're like completely opposite players.
I mean, Nah is probably like a good play though, and he always does fine at the majors.
Does he? I don't know. I feel like he hasn't been in a lot of majors.
Well, let's see. Let's see what he. Let's see. U.S. Open. He didn't play, and he got 36. No, I guess he didn't play this year.
I feel like he's like right outside the major level usually.
Kevin Na, he's coming off a win. He just won.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. No, I want Hoffman. I want Hoffman just because I want like the most American guy I can imagine.
All right. We'll do Hoffman.
Because I'm like giving an edge to European guys if it's close in any of these.
Uline is like, I just think he's like an egregious player, but I could be wrong.
I mean, I would say I've probably lost more money gambling on Peter Uline and using him in DFS than anyone else in any other sport. Because not ever one time has it ever produced a result for me.
That's kind of how Ryan Palmer is for me. I'm so glad he's not in this. I wouldn't be taking him, but I took him last week for some reason. I'm like, you just think some of these guys that were good a few years ago when you started playing are still good, and that's
not- yeah. I fall victim to that too. The only reason I even like Peter Uline is because he's friends with Brooks Koepka. Like it just doesn't. But at this point, I'm so invested in it that if he ever won and I didn't bet on him, I would be like besides myself.
Yeah, I think you kind of like that. A lot of these Jupiter guys are pretty, like, baller, I think, and I like them.
Yeah.
I think his dad also owns Titleist.
Correct. He is the son of one of the guys who owns Titleist.
Well, that's pretty baller, but I don't know about his golf game.
Yeah. Any of these random Euro dudes, Eddie Pepperell, I don't know.
I really don't. I couldn't tell you anything about that guy.
Kind of think maybe Kyle Stanley is okay because he can't putt, but he's like the ultimate strokes gained tee to green guy.
Same with Hadley, I feel like. Well, I guess Hadley can putt a bit, but he's been really good this year.
Griot is going to be so owned.
I feel like these three guys, Henley, Stanley, Hadley, are all good plays. Like, I feel like Henley always shows up in majors too.
Well, the thing is that if you really do have a strong feeling about anyone in this range, they're probably coming in at single. They're totally coming in at single digit ownership because Griot is stealing all of the juice down here.
I totally agree. Do you think Ryan Moore is going to be the second highest owned guy under 7K?
Ryan Moore just like always gets touted like an insane amount of the time. It's wild. But no, people will actually play Charles Howell instead of him. Because Charles Howell makes every cut, and if you've ever played DFS before, you've probably played Charles Howell because he's always underpriced. He's like the classic DraftKings guy.
who would you take in a head-to-head, Howell or Moore?
Howell for sure. I never take Ryan Moore.
I'll do 20 at even on that.
Okay. Damn, you're really going to felt me.
Yeah.
This is more money than I have had in my entire life.
Sorry. You got to pay me somehow for coming on this podcast.
I'm saving you money by doing this podcast with you because you said if you didn't do it, you were going to send me $1,000.
That's true. I did miss the Masters one, which was pretty bad.
I would not have been touting Patrick Reed, so you probably saved me a little bit of embarrassment.
Yeah, I don't think many people were. I always have to do one old man pick though. It's usually Langer, but I really think Sink is a good play.
He is getting a little bit of love from the touts.
Yeah. His last three tournaments, he's been really good.
He is a former winner of this event.
Oh, is he?
Okay. Yeah, like a long, not at this course, but just like a long time ago, he won a British Open.
Yeah, he's just, I don't know. Compared to like, I can't really see myself taking many guys under 6,700. But if you're trying to go for like a Dustin Rose build, you might have to.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I like him. Austin Cook seems all right.
Austin Cook is like the guy who's not old down here who like could conceivably make the cut.
Yeah, I mean, he's just way better than all these guys.
I would take like Retief Goosen in like a lineup or two, just because like if it gets really windy, you just want a guy who can fart around and chip the whole course away.
Who would be your like mega sleeper?
Probably like Bronson,
under, like 6,500. Just one of these total scrubs that's going to be like 0.1% owned.
Well, he probably won't be 0.1% owned because he just had a good round. But Bronson Burgoon.
Oh, is he? What price is he?
He's 6,300. He's like another strokes gained tee to green guy who can't putt, but he just had a T2 at the John Deere.
Yeah, I remember I had him like 3 years ago at Pebble, and he started like -8 on the front, and everyone thought I was a genius. And I'm just like, I don't even know who this guy is.
If Tom Hogue was in this field, that would be who I would take. He's the best golfer who's not in this field.
Definitely.
He's probably at the Barbasol. I would guess that he's playing the Barbasol this week.
He's probably going to be like 12K at the Barbasol this week.
I don't. DK didn't post contest for it.
Oh, okay.
They said they might though. I don't know. I don't know if they will or not. This guy Fabrizio Zanotti, he's like a total Euro Tour spaz. Like these British handicappers I listen to always mention him at these events. I don't know anything about him, so that's not an official tout by me. But he's like a guy who I at least know has gotten results on the European Tour before.
Yeah, but I don't know. My problem with these lower end Euro Tour guys is I feel the competition is so much worse.
Oh, they are significantly worse than the bottom of the PGA Tour. Like these guys are like
T30s or whatever, top 40s. But I don't know if they'd be making the cut on a lot of these.
No, like they would be like 2-stroke dogs to like Matt Jones. Like they're really bad golfers.
Matt Jones is egregious. So I don't know about that.
But. Yeah, let's.
Like, 2-stroke dogs to like Ryan Moore.
Yes, maybe more.
Yeah.
Let's build a GPP team. I'll enter it right now.
Let's do one where like you make the first pick and then.
Yeah.
Let's do one good one and one egregious one.
Okay. Let's do this first one will be the good one.
All right.
I'm taking DJ just because like I think DJ wins. I'm gonna bet him at 11-1. Dustin Johnson is the best golfer in the world. It's not close to me. And I'm full fading Spieth. I will not have any exposure to Spieth anywhere.
Okay. So want me to do like a mid 8K guy. I'll do Molinari.
All right. I will take I'll take Finau 7,200. This is hella chalky. Like this start right here, Johnson, Molinari, Finau is going to be a.
This is going to be our good team.
Okay, yeah.
I'll take Casey. This is the chalkiest team.
This is like literally the chalkiest team. Might as well take.
This might be owned 200 times in the million.
Yeah. Years. Okay. No. Let's just really go on it. Let's go Griot. So like literally can't get more chalky than this.
Rio is 68.
Yeah.
74 left.
So there's not anyone super chalky right here. Oof. So you could go like Houtong, you could go Willett. That's the way you would make it a GPP team.
I'm going to go X at 74.
There you go. Xander Shiffley. So DJ, Molinari, Finau, Casey, Griot, Shiffley. That's like not a bad team. That's just like kind of a good team.
Yeah, you got to get in someone lower owned there. It's going to be owned a ton.
All right, now we got to make an egregious team.
All right, Rory.
Rory, John Rahm. We somehow got through like an hour of this podcast without mentioning John Rahm.
He's got to be the
biggest favorite to either win or withdraw.
I think he's going to be the lowest. Who do you think is going to be lower owned, him or Thomas?
Oh, Rahm for sure. Rahm will definitely be less owned.
I think a lot of people are going to take Fowler for some reason.
Oh, I won't. Yeah. He's like a guy I won't touch. He's the most overpriced guy in the betting markets, I think. It's not even close.
So Rory, Rahm, I'm going to take who's a really bad play.
Uline is a really bad play.
I'll take Scott.
Oh, yep. Definitely a bad play.
I'm taking all my favorite tilt plays on this.
Yep. One. I'll take Uline then. Rahm and Uline. Rahm and Uline. I have about 750 yards of driving distance there combined between the two of them.
All right, I got to take Houtong.
Yep. Oh yeah. So we got Houtong. We had 7100. There's got to be I could just take Keegan. We could just build the full tilt team. There we go. Rory, Rahm, Scott, Uline, Houtong, and Keegan. Not one of these guys can putt.
And we also have to I'm going to put this in the millie.
Oh yeah.
I'll chop it with I'll pay your entrance and you get half of this.
Okay. There we go.
Write down that team. Well,
I just entered it.
I can remember this team.
I just entered it. If this wins, you got to put me in the main event next year.
I'll put you – if I win the Millie Maker?
If you win the Millie Maker, you have to put me in the main.
I'll put you in, like, a poker high roller, like 100K.
Put me in the one drop?
One drop's, like, I'm losing money because I have to give you half.
Imagine me playing in a 100K buy-in. I'd be so tight. I would fold every hand, I think.
You'd have, like, five guys, like, trying to three-bet you when you open.
I would play the tightest game anyone has ever played. Like I'd like fold kings pre probably.
You're gonna play like Helmuth's like basic strategy book from like 10 years ago where you fold like ace jack.
Oh, ace jack. Ace jack and the one drop, dude. That's at the very bottom of my range.
Would you fold ace queen under the gun?
I mean, not the way I play. I play very aggressively, but in the one drop, for that much, yeah, probably. I'm probably just outright folding. I'm not even opening. Like that's getting insta mucked. Maybe if it's suited, I open.
Yeah, suited, you open.
Because that's how fish think. Like fish, like want that extra 2% equity of the cards being suited.
Hey, it's kind of a thing now. The edges are so small in poker, like everyone's just trying to do.
I mean, I haven't read a poker book or like meaningfully played in like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, because it's too hard now.
It used to be.
Everyone's a genius in poker now.
Poker used to be so easy that I was able to be a winner when I was in high school online. That's how easy poker. It used to be like DFS like 5 years ago. Like as long as you had players who were starting, you would win.
Yeah. you just shove like 3x pot with a set and get called by top pair. That's how poker used to be.
I showed a couple of my friends the Tough Fish video the other day for the first time.
Yeah, that's literally all I'm known for. I still get people talking to me about that. It's pretty funny.
It's actually not true. There are a couple threads on 2+2 about you calling you the most arrogant guy in poker.
Yep. I've somehow gotten like way less arrogant. I used to be like the worst person, and now I'm probably like just slightly below average.
You're like decidedly below average. Yeah. You're definitely a better person now than you were when I met you.
Oh yeah. It's not even close.
I'm proud of you, pal.
Let's do like our two favorite matchup bets, and then we can end this because I want to sweat this one drop.
Okay. What are your two favorites? I gotta go pull that page up right now.
I'm looking. I'm gonna go Griot over Fratelli at -130. Like the, this Fratelli guy could be the biggest tout like play ever.
I don't even know who he is.
Dylan Fratelli, like he's all I hear about, and like the guy's never done well.
Yeah, no.
-130 all day on that.
These matchup lines are egregious. How much juice there is? I'm like looking at them. I got the whole.
Because the juice is.
I like DJ over Rory tournament matchup. That seems quite good.
-120 ish.
Yeah,
that seems crazy. Maybe Rory's a good play.
He could be a good play. I mean, I'm telling you, like, regardless of what happens to him anywhere else on the calendar, this dude always plays well at the Open, like 100% of the time.
Wow, did you see this one? Tiger is -115 versus Koepka.
Versus Koepka, yeah.
What? I'm not going to take that because it seems too fishy.
There's got to be – there. You can't trust any Tiger line, I don't think, even the matchup lines, because they're just so juiced because people want to bet him.
I'm going to take Cantlay over – he has two. I'll take Cantlay over Snedeker.
I'm changing. I'm not going to make the DJ one of my two. I'm going Finau over Thomas Peters and Matsuyama over Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Matsuyama has one with Fitzpatrick?
I'm on a different book than you are.
Okay. What are the lines so people know?
They're both -115 because it's egregious.
So Matsuyama, what's the second one?
Matsuyama over Fitzpatrick and Finau over Peters. I don't know how Finau and Peters got matched up.
Wow, I like both those. Yeah.
Yeah, those are both good.
Yeah. All right, man. This was fun.
Who wins? Who's the winner?
My chalk winning play would be God, I hate this. I would not bet on this, but I have a strong feeling that this is like Ricky's time.
Oh, no, get that out of here. I can't have that negativity around me because I really don't want him to win this one.
Big Ricky fanboy, but he's too tilting to play.
I want him to win the PGA. I want him to win the event that like matters the least and that has the least history.
Yeah, lower end, I'm going Rio.
I'll go DJ as like a fave and Finau as the first time major winner.
Sweet. All right, man.
Talk to you soon, dude.
Yeah, see ya.